Blog Talk Radio. All right. It's Monday morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I'm one of the teachers here with the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have schools located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and also Norfolk, Virginia. Our school in Albuquerque is located at the street address 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. You can reach us there. And we're trying to have classes. Well, we're doing the blog talk Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but it's at different times, okay? On Mondays, we have class. We're trying to hold it from 8 p.m. To 9:30 p.m., but we're trying to adjust that. We want to really try to push that back if we can to start more at 7. Really trying to work things out. Trying to get started at 7. From 7 to 9. But in the meantime, we're doing it from, get it together, Travel, from 8 p.m. To 9:30 p.m. on Mondays. Then on Tuesdays, we do have the blog talk in the mornings, and that's starting at 9 a.m. Albuquerque time, going to about 10:30 Albuquerque time. We come back on Wednesday evenings. We have class at the school, 7710 Suite F on our Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. You're welcome. Please come and join us for class there at the school. And then we have class again Thursday mornings for the blog talk again, as you might be tuned in right now and listening, where you called in the 646. 646. I'm sorry, 646-668-2568, being the calling number for the show there in Albuquerque. In San Antonio, the brothers and sisters have classes Tuesday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And their school location is 4219 Tenegate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 72167, being the zip code there. Our classes, our school in Houston, they have classes Monday through Friday. On Monday, you can live stream the class on the YouTube channel, ISBHBK Live, or the YouTube channel, Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Their classes start on Mondays at 7 p.m., again, Central Standard Time. You go from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We invite you to check them out. Like, share, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then also, again, on Wednesdays, they have a class on YouTube. You need to tune into and watch from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then again, also on Saturdays, they have the Saturday morning Sabbath service ceremony that is on YouTube that you can check them out. Then we have our Norfolk, Virginia location, which is located at 2610 Grambling Street, Norfolk, Virginia. That's 2610 Grambling Street, Norfolk, Virginia. And you can watch their YouTube classes on ISBHBK Norfolk Live. That's ISBHBK Norfolk Live. And you can catch them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Their classes start again also at 7 p.m., but that's Eastern Standard Time. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Times. And then again on Fridays, they have a Sabbath class that you can catch from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time coming out of Norfolk, Virginia. Like, share, subscribe to their channel. If you'd like to help donate any tithes, peace funds, offerings, help with the rent or whatever, you can go to Google Pay or Google Wallet, and isbhbk@gmail.com is one way to go ahead and get in touch. Or we invite you to go ahead and actually go to one of the schools, so go to one of the school locations and leave a donation there. In all the schools that we're dealing with, we are still looking for school supplies. For people to be able to take notes, pens, papers, notebooks. We got reference books. Are always in need, from apocryphas to a Bible, designer band Bible dictionaries, to any encyclopedias you might want to donate, any maps you want to donate, laptops, computers, anything to help us get this knowledge out is deeply appreciated. Even a printer paper. Printer paper is in high demand as we have our literature programs. We're passing out literature, trying to give people the word, trying to help wake people up. So if you can donate any of these items to any of the school locations, We invite you to get in touch with those schools and help out. It's deeply appreciated and deeply needed. Okay? So with that being said, one thing we've been going over is willful sin. As we get ready to come into the Day of Atonement, one thing we want to look at is we don't understand that the Day of Atonement is a day where it's the only fast that is required by the Most High for all Israelites. And as we go through the scriptures, let's just know that. And doing this fast on this one particular day, that all the sins from the previous year will be forgiven. Right? We know that we're forgiven in Christ. And that forgiveness brought us back to the knowledge. That's the forgiveness that Christ offered us as Israelites was that we would have a chance after our punishment as a nation to have a chance we would come back to the knowledge and find out that we are Israelites and come back and start to repent and come back to the Most High. That's what his sacrifice provided during that time, and which is really appreciated because without that, we wouldn't even know today that we're Israelites. All right, so that was the sacrifice that Christ gave during that time in forgiveness of sins, that for our sins, we would have a chance to be able to come back and repent and get back right with the Most High. But we understand also the yearly Day of Atonement is to help during times of helping us now. We know the scripture tells us a just man falls seven times, but rises up again. And that there's a lot of spiritual, mental and emotional filth and baggage that we carry with us and we slip. And the Most High provides us with the Day of Atonement every year. That if we fast for that 24 hours, no food, no drink, absolutely nothing for that 24 hours, that the sins for the previous year will be forgiven. And that's just a witness of the Most High's long suffering, of the Most High's mercy to offer us not only Christ as a sacrifice to come back as a nation, but as individuals, that the Day of Atonement, that we show discipline and restraint for that one day, he would forgive us for the whole year. Which is really amazing to think about it, that when a person sets their mind to understand that this is the law of the Most High, that the law of the Most High requires that we fast for this day, that we don't eat or drink anything for a 24-hour period. And you take into consideration and figuring the fact that the body needs food. The body needs water. That's a need. It's a necessity. It's essential for life. The body cannot survive without food. It can't survive without water. But to go ahead and not resist the urge, to not resist the cravings, to resist the habits, to resist the routines that the body is used to of eating three times a day, snacks throughout the day, that midday coffee, and midday energy drink, or whatever it might be, to resist for 24 hours from sunset to sunset. Don't eat anything. That you fight yourself. You fight your will. You fight your cravings. You fight the urges. Understanding that and fighting these urges and fighting these cravings and fighting these feelings that the Most High forgave me for the whole past year, which is, again, a testimony, a witness to just how much we give ourselves over to just how I feel. If I feel hungry, a quick donut, a quick snack, the dollar menu. I'm in. I'm there because I just have it. I just feel hungry. Or I just feel thirsty. And throughout the year, we get certain feelings from throughout the year that we become slaves to. We become slaves to our feelings. We become slaves to, if I have to get this craving, or I get this thought, or I get this notion, I have to give myself over to it. And throughout the year, if you can make it really meditate and look at it, we do that quite often. We do that a lot. So to have this one day when Moses says, just resist your urges for one day. Resist the cravings for one day. Resist your routine for one day. So disciplined for one day. And I'll forgive you for the whole year. We know that it's not just about the diet. We know it's not just about going on a diet for this day. But it's being able to show that mental strength and having your mind on the Most High that for this day, I'm not going to eat anything, I'm not going to drink anything. I'm going to fight the urge, the temptation, the desire to want to eat or just put something in my mouth. And I'm going to, as hard as it gets, because I'm living for the Most High, I'm going to use that to help me push past my cravings, push past the hunger, push past the weakness, push past whatever it might be, because I get my mind set on the Most High, that I'm doing this for the Most High. And with the lesson, the long-term lesson behind that is that you can do that on a day where the body needs food, the body needs water. But, you know, for the Most High, I'm going to put myself through this. For the Most High, I'm going to put myself through this this hardship. For the Most High, the Most High is worth me going through this, resisting myself. And in so doing, if we can do that for one day, called the Day of Atonement, then we can do that any time throughout the year. That just because I get a feeling, that just because I get a notion, just because I get a thought, doesn't mean I need to be a slave to those thoughts. I need to be a slave to those feelings. I need to be a slave to those routines. That for the Most High, I can deny myself. That for the Most High, I can abstain. I can do this for the Most High. And that's where the power of the Most High is really shown. It's not just in the sun rising every day. It's not in the stars shining every night. But because we believe in His Word, and we apply His Word, we can see the power of His Word, that His Word has that power, that because I believe in His Word, and I'm applying His Word, I can even overcome my own thoughts. I can even overcome my own desires. I can even overcome my own feelings and emotions. I can do it. And I can do it for the Most High. I can do it for the Most High's sake. It can be done. I can fight myself. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Day of Atonement. That the Most High has given us this day, but we can now take this day again. And that doesn't just be for the one day. But we can show the Most High appreciation that, you know what? If I can do it on one day, then why can't I do it on every day? That if I just set my mind to the Most High's Word, I set my mind to the Scriptures, and I'm actually going to do what the Scripture says. Whereas, real quick, my mind's kind of jumping in several different places. I believe it's 1 Timothy 1 and 7, or 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I want to hear that Scripture first. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Okay, I guess I'm going to find it. Hold on 1 second. I'm trying. It says the law is not for the law, for the law is for the law.
Started at 8, but we know that the law is good if a man uses lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient.
It says that we're supposed to not understand that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. So why the Most High have to give us the law of the Day of Atonement? Because we get lawless in that what? When it comes to food, a craving, there's even quote unquote food addictions that people are giving over to. That I cannot control myself. That because of this eating, I'm talking about lawful food. This is what they were talking about, unclean foods. It was the eating of lawful foods as a comfort. The eating of lawful foods is just got a snack. I got the thought, I got to get something. For the lawful foods, that the Most High had to give us the law of what? The Day of Atonement. For that, because we're just lawless. We get to the point where if I get the thought, if I see it, I got to have it. I got to eat it. I got to taste it. I got to put something in my mouth. I got to put something in my stomach because I got a thought in my head. And that those thoughts really have us captive. Those thoughts really have us in slavery. That we feel, because I feel it, because I thought it, because it hit my head, then I have to give myself over to it. I have to be a slave to it. I have to obey my flesh. I have to obey my emotions. I have to obey my thoughts. I've got to put something in my mouth. And it's during that time that a person is lost. You've got no self-control. You've got no discipline. I've got to eat. I've got to put something in my mouth. I've got to drink something. And we become a slave to these things. We become a slave to these notions. We become a slave to these thoughts. So the Most High came back and gave us what? He gave it to us. He gave us that law. For what reason? So that you can show or see for yourself that you do think about the Most High. You don't have to give yourself over to that craving. You don't have to obey like the Sprite commercial, right? Obey your thirst. No, you don't have to obey your thirst. You don't have to eat that Snickers bar because you're hungry. You don't have to. But why? Because you think about the Most High. And because I think about the Most High, I don't have to give myself over to these thoughts. I don't have to give myself over to these lusts or to these desires. I don't have to. So, again, read that verse one more time, please, sir.
You got it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man.
The law is not made for a righteous man. Read.
But for the lawless and disobedient.
But for the lawless and disobedient. The lawless meaning I've got no discipline. I've got no law. The only law there is, obey my thirst. The only law that I have is eat some food. And again, I'm using food as a reference, but this can be applied in any realm of our lives. If it's a person feeling a sexual preference or what they might call fetish, you really do not have to give yourself over to that sexual fetish, whatever it might be. You don't have to be a slave to it. You don't have to be a captive to it. It might be pride. I'm not going to take low. Whatever thought comes to my mind, I'm not going to let nobody ever put me down. I'm not going to let anybody ever just walk over me. All right, cool. This is why you have. It's got to be the law. What does David tell me? You will submit to something. You are going to submit to something. It's not going to be just your way all the time. You got to submit. All the different vices that a person might have, that the Most High gives us, again, the Day of Atonement, to show yourself, you can show restraint. You can restrain yourself. You can discipline yourself. By no means do you have to give yourself over to your thoughts, to your lust, to your desires, to your cravings, to the things that come to your mind. You do not have to give yourself over to it. You don't have to. But what gives you the power to overcome that thought? What gives you the power to overcome that craving? What gives you the power to overcome that desire? It be your will to want to please the Most High. Your will and wanting to please the Most High is what gets you past that. Your will and wanting to obey the Most High's word. It pushes you past your flesh. It pushes you past your feelings. It pushes you past your thoughts. It pushes you past your inclinations. It pushes you past. It will push you past your addiction because you're thinking about the Most High and wanting to please Him, wanting to obey Him, and that pushes you past all that. That's where the power of the Most High is also evidenced at. That's where the power of the Most High can be witnessed within yourself, within a person, that I can overcome. I don't have to be a slave to my feelings, to my flesh, to my thoughts. All I got to do is have that fear and respect for the Most High's word and love the Most High's word more than even my own thoughts, than even whatever comes to my own heart, that I can overcome. So again, verse 9 tells us what?
First Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners.
For the ungodly and for sinners. I don't want to be controlled. But I want to just give myself over to my mind, my thoughts, and my feelings and my emotions. This part of the law has to be in place. So, as we're going to willful sin, and I'm trying to hopefully get the point out, and it's coming across, that again, we get into willful sin when the pressure of trying to follow Christ, the pressure hits us so hard, I need an escape. And we get to this point where we feel a person will feel like, I've done so much, I've been good all this time, I've earned the right to take care of me. I've earned the right to do me. I've earned the right to go ahead and not be so diligent, not be disciplined, not be focused on the most high, that I need a break. And that's when willful sin comes into play. That's when a person will, out of my desire, out of my urge, out of my my logic, I'm going through so much. No one cares about me. Nobody considers what I'm going through. And I'm going through so much that now I need to do something for me. And I don't care what the scripture says. I don't care what, at this particular time, what was going on. I got to find some ease and comfort in my mind. I got to find some ease and comfort for my soul. And it's not the scriptures right now. I got to do something to get let me feel good about myself. If it's having a drink, if it's not studying, if it's I'm gonna sleep the whole day. If it's just I'm gonna binge watch Netflix and TV and YouTube. I can be studying. I can be doing some for the Most High. I can be getting supplies together. I can be giving somebody the word. But right now, no, I'm just gonna be into me. Because I feel like I'm already giving so much. I feel like I'm already doing so much. I'm doing more than everybody else. And don't nobody give a damn, nobody sees it. That's when willful sin comes into place. I'm going to do something until I feel good. I'm going to do something until I, just to ease my mind. And I'm going to do this. Now, just to give an example, we know drinking is lawful in the Bible. To have a drink is lawful. To have sex is lawful with your wife or with your husband is lawful. But when it gets excessive, when that becomes the substitute for scriptures, that becomes the substitute for teaching, that becomes the substitute for reaching out and trying to gather Israel so we all get out of Babylon, so we all get out of America, and we can go back to our kingdom. That now when these type of things start to get in the way, when I say these type of things, meaning when my habits and my desire for comfort, my desire for mental break, mental ease, now starts to get in the way. And it gets to the point where I start to justify what I'm doing. But because I do this, because I do that, because I got this going on, I got so much, man, I need to do me. And it's in those times that the willful sin takes place. And that's what we want to be careful of. Right? That's what we want to be careful of. Let's get Hebrews 10:26. Let's get Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26.
For we sin willfully, after that we have received knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Now, I want to get into this because it's being pretty direct. For if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What he's telling us is the sacrifice that Christ made
to get us to a point where we can hear the truth. He cannot die again. He cannot get back on the cross again to where I'm going to keep sinning and keep doing the same thing I've been doing. In the expectation of thinking that, well, Christ died for me, so I'm okay. Christ died, you know, so the nation of Israel will have the opportunity to come back now during this time, having gone through slavery, and finding out being taught that we are African Americans, Negroes, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Baptists, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or what have you. That being taught that and being stripped of all identity that we're Israelites. Or any notion that we're the people of the book, that is completely stripped from us because of our pride and to humble us. And for all the tortures and the atrocities and the slavery and the oppression that we've been through, that the Most High came back and I said, cool, Christ died for you and shed his blood. That after y'all been punished, y'all will have a chance now to come back as a nation on a national level. So Christ that now we might be able to come back and find out we're the Israelites. And now understand why we've been going through the hardships and the pains and the inequalities and the oppression that we've had to face here in America. And now we understand, oh, because we broke the commandments of the Most High. We are the people of the book. But God tells you now, after you get that knowledge that we're the people of the book, that we're the Israelites, there's a certain thing that happens. That a person will sin willfully after he gets that knowledge. There's just talking about people in the world that haven't even accepted the fact that they're Israelites, won't even hear the fact that they're Israelites. Just even talk to them. Just talk to those who have received the knowledge of the truth. I know I'm an Israelite. And now, after knowing I'm an Israelite and knowing what's expected of me as an Israelite, I still sin willfully anyway. And again, what I'm trying to really cover and really trying to bring out is why a person will sin willfully. That person feels they're owed something. I'm owed something. I've done enough already. I've done enough, so now I can go and do me. There's no more sacrifice there's no more sacrifice now for that sin. Christ died already. Christ shed his blood already. That was done. You now got the knowledge of the truth, and you know better now. But because when you get caught to your emotions, your feelings, the anger, the pride, the envy, the jealousy, the covetousness, the adultery, the friendship of the world, whatever it might be, you know better, but because you feel you're owed something, or because you feel you're good already, now it's the willful sin. Well, at that point, there is no more sacrifice for sin. At that point, there really is no more sacrifice for sins. Read it on, verse 27.
Verse 27. But it turned fearful looking for, of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary.
Right. So it says now you're at the point where all you can look forward to is it says but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. You can best believe there's going to be some type of punishment. Now it doesn't have to be the extreme where a person there's going to be death. Hopefully it won't take you there, but you can best believe there's going to be some type of repercussion. But where Israelites keep making a mistake at is because most of them doesn't judge you right away. Like we've been covering and have covered extensively, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. It's fully set in the hearts of men for them to be evil. The Most High doesn't get you in the next 5 minutes. That is not how the Most High does. Whole Hebrews 10:27. In fact, Isaiah, I'm asking you to read it one more time while I give this other scripture real quick.
Verse 27. But a certain principle looking for us.
I'm sorry, 26.
Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary.
Again, so we said willfully now. It says there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, that there's going to be some type of repercussion. There's going to be some type of judgment that cannot be avoided. Right? That cannot be avoided. It's going to be something. It could be anything the scripture talks about putting your money in a bag with holes. He that earned wages put into a bag with holes. Then now you ain't got no money. That all the money you've been saving for whatever it might be. Now the judgment is everything around you just starts breaking down. Accidents happen out of nowhere. But now you got to take this money that you were saving up for whatever. Now it's not there. But why? This is part of the fire indignation. This is part of the judgment of the Most High. No, it didn't take death. It didn't take the Most High having to kill you. No. Now the Most High has got to make things that much more inconvenient for you. Now he's got to make things that much more uncomfortable for you. But why? The willful sin. There was willful sin. And in that willful sin, it says, all that's remaining now is a certain fearful looking for of what? Of judgment. But because this is what happens as I'm looking for the scripture. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians also. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm looking. Anybody know that scripture? When it's just say peace and safety. Is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Holy Hebrews. Would you please hold Hebrews? Holy Hebrews chapter 10. Let's get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 3.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them.
What we don't get, what we don't put together from a lack of studying or what have you is that Most High waits for you to feel like you got away with it. He waits for a person to feel like, okay, it's all good. Well, nothing happened yet. Well, I guess nothing is going to happen. And when a person is at a place where they feel I'm in a good place, peace and safety, everything's good, man, we had this, we was having this problem, we was having that problem, but man, everything is good. What we don't put together is from that willful sin, there's still got to be a certain judgment. And at the point where a person forgot about their willful sin, a person stops thinking about, yes, I went against the Most High. I went against the protocols, what was supposed to happen. I fed it to my lust, my emotions, my desires, my habits, my whatever it is. I fell into it.
I really didn't care about the scriptures. I really didn't care to talk about the Most High. Alright, cool. You still got to deal with the judgment. But how's the Most High judge? How's the Most High bring it? When you're at a point of peace and safety, when you're at a point you forgot about it, when you're at a point where you're not thinking about it, that's when the Most High strikes. Remember, Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 tells us the Most High is a man of war. That's dealing with strategy. So the Most High doesn't wait for you when you're prepared and waiting for the judgment. He wants you to be relaxed. He wants you to be totally relaxed, not bracing for it, to be able to deal with it. Not bracing, oh, I know he's going to get me for this, and you're all braced up and tensed up for it. That's not how the Most High operates. He wants you to relax and think. And then, again, like Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily. It's fully set in the hearts of men for them to do evil. The Most High has given you, like I said, give you all the rope you need to hang yourself. Now so you didn't get in trouble or no judgment came when you first did the thing. So that gives you the boldness to do what? Now I can do it again. That gives you, you get real excited and active. And you know what? I used to think the Most High was against this, but you know what? I'm seeing ain't nothing really bad happen to me. Matter of fact, it seems like since I started doing this, things are better. My house is more comfortable. I'm at a better state. I'm not mad and angry no more. I'm at a good place. But according to the scripture here, when does the Most High strike? When you stop expecting it. And what's crazy is the cycle that we go into is we get punished for past sinful sins, for willful sins, but then we want to become the victims. We want to come back and now justify why it's wrong for us to go through what we're going through. Why this shouldn't have happened. Why that shouldn't have happened. And we want to get mad. And then, because we're getting punished, what do we wind up doing? Because we're being punished, we're like children having a temper tantrum. We throw a fit. And in that fit, what are we doing? Willfully sinning. So now what do we just do? So now we're in this cycle. So now what just happened? I'm getting punished for past deeds. I'm getting judged for past actions and behaviors that I forgot about. I'm getting punished, so I get mad, I get angry, I throw a fit, I go back into willful sin. So now the Most High is going to have to wait down the line. And now down the line, I'm getting paid back for things I did in the past that I forgot about. Yeah, I go through it, get through it, I'm all good. But then I still got to get that punishment coming back all over again. And then I want to get mad, and I want to be the victim. And I want to start justifying. And I want to keep saying why it's not my fault, why it's somebody else's fault, why this ain't right. And I'm just under so much pressure. Everything's hitting me so hard that I got to do something to ease my mind. I got to do something to ease me. I got to do something to make me feel good. I don't feel like being diligent. I don't feel like being on point. I don't feel like being disciplined because I'm going through so much. So we're going to start it off again. And now the Most High got a certain fiery judgment waiting. But he's got to wait till we feel comfortable. He's got to wait till we feel peace and safety. We keep forgetting that when is the Most High really judging us? It's in the fire. What behavior and mentality are you having while you're in the fire? Like with Job. when Job was in the fire, lost everything, children, land, servants, crops, he lost it all, then his health. But what behavior and what mindset did he take through all that? He didn't take the woe is me, pity me, and now I can go ahead and do whatever negative because I was feeling bad. Let me go ahead and drink to deal with my mind, and I can blame it on the alcohol. That it really wasn't me doing it, it was the alcohol. It really wasn't me doing it, it was the drugs. That really wasn't me. Y'all know me. You know me. You know I'm not really like that. But no, that's what the Most High said to see what's really in your heart. That's what the Most High is really judging your heart. What do you do when you're under that pressure? How do you operate? What's your mindset when you're under that pressure? Do you lean to the scriptures or are you about you and your escape? You're right. For as many people who say that, the Most High knows my heart. You're right. He does know your heart. But he's not judging your heart when things are all good for you. When things are all easy for you and you're not going through any adversity. Especially when you're being punished for things you've done. That's when he's judging our hearts. That's when he's looking at us. When we're in the fire. We know from the world that there's a term called fair weather friend. And what the term fair weather friend means is the only time you see this person come around is when things are all good. You got a paycheck, all of a sudden this guy comes around or this woman comes around because you got a paycheck and you have a kind, giving heart. You're gonna buy dinner for him also. You're going to buy drinks. You're going to make sure he's taken care of. But as soon as your money runs out, he's gone. But when you need help and you really need somebody to be there with you, this person can't be found. Well, that's how we keep doing the Most High as Israelites. That when everything's going good in my life, I'm proud to call myself an Israelite. I'm willing to tell people about the truth. I want to tell people about the Most High. I want to tell people about class. I'm excited for the truth. But let me be going through a little bit of affliction. Let me be going through a little bit of suffering. And now all of a sudden, the doubt, the fear, the slothfulness, the doubt settles in. And I don't know if this is really the truth. I don't know if I want anybody walking. I don't know if I even want my worst enemy going through what I'm going through right now. I've got to find ease. I've got to find something. But it's during those times, that's when the Most High is really judging us to see what's in our hearts. While in the fire. Especially when we're in the fire for past transgressions. Especially when we're in the fire for past iniquities. And remember, the synonym I love for iniquity is opinion. When I'm stuck in my opinion about how I feel it should be, when I'm stuck in my opinion about I can do this, I'm going to do this. Remember, we know a definition for opinion is your pride. I'm in my pride. I'm in my opinion. That's when we're being judged. So we can read that one more time. 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
And we're not going to escape. But what do we look for? We keep looking for escapes. Not to go ahead and get into the scriptures and I'll do the Most High's word. I'm looking for any escape I can. I'm going to drink more. I'm going to smoke more. I'm going to binge watch TV more. I'm going to binge watch porn more. I'm going to be more into my own thoughts. I'm going to be more separated into my own thoughts and into me and how I feel going on even more. I'm trying to escape this fire. I'm trying to escape this judgment. And again, it doesn't have to be death. That's what we think it is. Well, as long as most ain't killed me, he must still be okay. But look at your life. Look what all you're going through. Again, this is the result of that willful sin. And again, where does willful sin come from? When a person feels justified in their actions, in their behavior. That I feel that this is okay because I'm going through this. I feel this is okay because of this, because of my circumstances. This is what we want to be careful of. This is what we want to be watchful of. This is why when the scripture says be sober, being sober, it wasn't just talking about not being a drunkard. But don't be influenced even by your own thoughts. Don't be influenced even by your own emotions. Don't be influenced by your own mind. Remember, or your own heart. Because what the Most High tells us about our heart? That our heart is desperately wicked. That the way you think and the way you put things together is desperately wicked. But we don't acknowledge that. We just think, because I got a thought, because I feel a certain way, that must be the spirit. Because I have a thought and I feel a certain way, that's the Most High. But at no time are we really checking. Do we come back and counsel? Man, I was having these thoughts. To do good and communicate. Do I come back and communicate with those that are over me? To check my mind, to check my thoughts, to let it be known through counsel, there's safety most of the counsel, that, you know what, I'm having these thoughts, I'm thinking like this, I'm saying this, is this correct? Is this right? Is this proper? Is that the case, or is it just, no, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm horny, I'm hungry, whatever it is, I'm doing me. I'm not counseling with nobody. I'm not communicating with anyone, just myself. The only words I hear, the only voice I hear is the voice of my own head. And again, as Israelites, that's dangerous. As Israelites, that's dangerous because the scripture tells us what? Knowledge puffeth up. That now, Satan will have you find the scripture to justify your feelings, to justify your behavior. And if you're not in a body of people, a council of people, to let you know that what you're doing is correct or incorrect, but you're just on some solo, you're just solo, that's dangerous. And you got nobody. It says, let the righteous smite me. It should be a kindness. But now, even other people in the Bible can't tell you nothing. Even other people in the scriptures can't tell you nothing because you got a scripture in your head. And you've got the notion that you're being bullied. You got the notion that you're just not being liked. But this is not for people in the world. This can be from other Israelites in the world. And you're stuck on just following your mind, your head. You're being drunk with you. You're inebriated with you. You're being too influenced by you. And again, if we're not careful,
Is that not how Satan even came to Christ? So if it happened to Christ, are you really that prideful and arrogant that it can't happen to you because you got a scripture? You have no humility in you at all, or the other answer is that you're being bullied? It's never that you're the one that's wrong. It's never you got to take low. It's either you have a scripture in your head and that's all there is to it, everybody else is wrong and you're perfect and you're right. That's the only answer. Come on, we got to be better than this. We have to be better than this. We don't want to get to that. We want to eschew and get away from that willful sin because I'm justifying my actions. I'm justifying me. Guys, there's going to be a fiery judgment. There's going to be some type of judgment. We can't be to the point where now when the judgment comes, now we faint. Well, maybe I ain't supposed to be in the truth. Maybe I'm not really an Israelite. Because, again, let's get 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter 2:21, 2:19? Let's get 1 Peter 2:19.
You still holding on to Hebrews?
Still holding Hebrews, yes.
Okay. Well, this is thankful.
Let's start at verse 17. Let me see here. Let's start at verse 13. There's so many times I've had to apply this and use it on myself. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for whose sake? For the Most High's sake, for the Most High's sake. That to defeat those thoughts that creep up in my mind. Well, if I submit to him, he's going to think he's over me. He's going to think he's better than me. He's going to think this. He's going to think that. And I want to put him on that level. All right, well, I'm going to text that you're not being heard. So mind you the phone. But again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And I've had to apply the scripture to myself so many times to defeat the thoughts or the feelings or the notions that if I obey this man, he's going to think he's over me. If I submit to him, he's going to think he's better than me. I've had to consciously apply this scripture. I'm going to submit to this, and I know what I'm being subjected to is bullshit. I know that it's bullshit. I know it's bullshit. But what does the scripture say? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So I gotta remind myself, Mashaba, you know this is bullshit, but why are you gonna submit to it? Because you're just trying to kiss this man's ass? Because I'm just trying to get on this man's side? No. I'm going to submit to what the protocol or whatever is going down because I'm doing it for the Lord's sake. I'm not going to be rebellious and go against because I got a scripture in my head, and not, especially among other Israelites that are in the Word, that are in the Bible. All right? You know what? I'm going to mention it. I'm going to say it. Cool. But this is where everybody's going. Then for the sake of unity, cool. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to give it up. For the Lord's sake.
for the Most High to see I can still be humble. For the Most High to see that I can still, I'm still want to do his will of gathering Israel together. Blessed are the peacekeepers. So cool. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I apply this scripture with I apply this scripture when it says oh man, as I'm reading some of these texts, right? Don't throw my thoughts off. Then it says, blessed are the peacekeepers, for they should be called the children of the Most High. Okay, cool. I want the Most High to see I'm doing what I'm doing for him. And it does get to that point where you can think I'm just trying to kiss your ass. You can try to think I'm just weak. You can try to think I'm whatever. But for the Most High's sake, this is the only reason I'm doing it. When the scripture says we are fools for Christ's sake, that's 1 Corinthians 4:9. Cool. I know that I'm being I know I'm being played for a fool. You think I'm stupid. But you know what? They thought Christ was stupid. So for me to walk in his steps, for me to walk and to be like Christ, then let me go ahead and be the fool then. Let me go and be the stupid one. Because you know what? Yahweh Shai did the exact same thing. But when Yahweh Shai did it, he did it to please the Most High. Not just please that person. So let me do it to please Christ. Not just to please this person. And then let the Most High go ahead and take his vengeance on this person. Let the Most High take out his justice on this person for me keeping in order. I remember first having to apply this when our camps kind of first broke up and split apart from the brother Ariel. That I was willing to follow Ariel. I vowed to myself I would follow Ariel to the kingdom. That if I ever got lost my way, I would find Ariel. I would just follow him. Because I knew he was going to the kingdom. And there were mandates that he laid down, that he set down, that, all right, cool, I'm going to trust you. Let me just do it. But then when he started going against his own mandates, when he started going against his own things he set up, becoming the extreme hypocrite, I'm like, bro, I can't follow you. I can't do that. When it got to that point, where there was other times where I just understand what he was doing, then before I trusted the Most High. When he just flat out denied the Bible, it was done. Thank God before the Most High brought it back home, he did repent and get back into the scriptures and his love for the Most High in that way. But in applying the scripture again, submit to be the peacemaker. Christ told us that you're going to be offended, and Christ told us they're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to play you. But for the Most High's sake, let me submit myself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, you're in charge. The Most High set you in charge. Most High said, obey them and have the rule over you. Okay, all right. The only reason I'm going to obey you right now is because the scripture says, obey them and have the rule over you. Did David do it with Saul? He sure did. Yes, he most certainly did. And was Saul trying to actually kill David? Yes. Not just embarrass David, not just ridicule David, actually trying to kill David. But did David still submit? Yeah, he did. And I had to come back and really look at myself. Am I to the point where, am I just being embarrassed? Am I just being mocked and ridiculed? And that's why I can't follow the orders, because I feel like I'm being mocked and ridiculed? Am I at the point where David had to dodge javelins from a Benjamite? And the scriptures tell you that the Benjamites were expert at throwing weapons with the right hand and the left hand to the breadth of a camel hair. That's how accurate they were at throwing. And David is dodging javelins thrown from Saul, who, remember, Saul was so tall and big that nobody in Israel came up to his shoulder. An expert at the javelin. and David does it three times. Am I at that point, or am I just being made fun of, being ridiculed? Am I just being inconvenienced? Am I just being made to feel uncomfortable? Can I obey the Most High in Christ even though I'm being made to feel uncomfortable? Can I obey the scriptures even though I'm being made, it's inconvenient? Or am I going to be on such a thirst, a hunger for justice, a hunger for this ain't right, a hunger for revenge, that I'm going to do things my way, it's just going to be about me? Or can I, in this fire, apply the scriptures? Can I, in going through this, and yes, I feel like a fool, I'm being made, I'm being played. They're making merchandise of me. Can I deal with this for Yahushua's sake? And because I'm soft and weak, can't fight, won't fight, can I apply the scriptures in this fire? So, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king, whoever's in charge, as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. That now, someone that is not the king, and I'm not referring to Yahushua being the king here, to whoever's in charge, and they have captains and lieutenants and generals under them. Can I obey them knowing they were sent by? I know the setup. I know how the play goes. That you, the king, ain't saying nothing to me, but you're sending somebody else. Can I still obey? Can I still submit? Not to the king or whoever's in charge at the time, but to the Most High. Can I submit to the true king? Can I submit to Yahushua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can I submit to him? Knowing that this is where the Most High is saying where my heart is at. The Most High knows your heart. Most High knows my heart. Cool. In this fire, let me show him what my heart is. That even though I've got every desire and every inclination to say, F you, back this, to hell with you, I'm not going through this. I'm not the one. Not again. Nope. Let me go through the fire again. Let me go through this again. For two reasons. For the Most High's sake, for your house's sake, and I know I've done some willful sinning. So this is the Most High using this person or this situation to pay me back for my willful sins. For the times I only listened to me, I didn't listen to scriptures, didn't care about scriptures. How many times did I just do me? And now this is the Most High using this situation to deal with me. Then let me go ahead and submit, because I'm not the victim. I'm not the victim. You got to get that out your head, or you'll be in willful sin. Because you'll be so caught up into that emotion, so caught up into that mentality, so caught up into that behavior, that you're stuck there. You're a slave to it. And you keep justifying and feeding that thought because you're the victim. I didn't do nothing. I ain't did nothing to this person to deserve that from death. But what about what you've done to the Most High? Why is that never the notion? Why is it always just looking at the person? This person did not, I never did nothing to this person. They should never do this to me. But what have you done to the Most High? How many times did you follow you and not follow the Most High? And we're not talking about that you went and ate some pork. We ain't talking about you went and ate some shrimp, crab, or lobster. How many times did you do things and make decisions had nothing to do with the Bible, had nothing to do with the scriptures? It was just based on how you felt. It was just based on what you thought. It was just based on your perception. If we start looking at it that way, we see there's a lot of times a person does that. But we don't want to deal with that part.
We want to look at this person should never, I've never done nothing to this person. I've never done nothing to them to deserve this reaction from them. But come on, come on. But is the Most High not the Father of spirits? And why did the Most High have this person? Why did the Most High put this spirit on this person to treat you this way? What have you done to him? Not to that person, but to the Most High. But we don't want to deal with that part. I just want to look at the person and deal with the person. I want the person to explain to me why they treat me this way, why they're doing what they're doing. I want to reason with them out of my logic. I want to reason with them out of my mind. I want to reason with them from my argument so that I don't have to deal with what I've done to the Most High. How many times I was hard-headed, rebellious, stubborn, stiff-necked with the Most High? Let me go ahead and just go through what I got to go through for the Most High. As I always say, if you save yourself, then why does the Most High have to? If Yahweh Shai's name means He who saves, a savior. And he's the Jesus Christ, the anointed savior, the chosen savior. He's the one chosen to save Israel, not me. If he's the one chosen to save Israel, then why do I feel I got to keep saving myself? Well, if I don't stand up, nobody will. If I don't protect myself, nobody will. If I don't say something or do something, nobody's going to help me. Did you forget? You obviously forgot about their Yahweh Shai. You obviously forgot. Why are you buying to the truth? So Yahweh Shai can stand for you. But you got to do those things that please him first. So in verse 14, it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Why is this governor sent to you? That's to punish the evil you're doing. But it might not be that exact situation. This might be the Most High paying you back for something you did before. That he didn't let you get away with. That now this is the judgment. That what you did for like being humble before, now you're going to be humble now. It says, and for the praise of them that do well. Verse 15. The only reason I'm reading right now is because they say it's hard to hear. I'm not saying you went wrong or whatever. People just, the text is saying it's hard to hear. And we only have a few minutes left. Unless you want me to get closer, we can do it. Can you sit close to your dad? All right, cool. It says, let's look at the name of verse 15.
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. For so is the will of the Most High.
For what?
Is the will of the Most High.
This is the will of the Most High. Are you going to submit to every ordinance of man for the Most High's sake? Because this is the will of the Most High. Can you get along with others? Can you unify? Or are you on such a high horse, such arrogance, such pride, because you got a scripture in your head, you don't know how to unify? Again, with other Israelites in the truth, understand about people in the world. We don't unify, we don't congregate with people in the world. Got it. But when you can't even congregate with people in Israel, there's a problem. And you're the problem. You can't even unite with other Israelites that are in the book, that are doing the work. Because you're the victim?
because you're just being bullied. So in Psalms chapter 141, verse 5, hopefully everybody can just write that down, because I'm going to paraphrase it. In Psalms 141 and verse 5, David says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. So even other people that are in the scriptures, even other people that are in the book, they can't correct you either. You're just being bullied. You're just being picked on. You're just being oppressed. Really? That's the only answer. So now, no one can correct you. No one can show you you. In your mind, the only answer is that you're being picked on and being bullied. And all of your scriptural studies, the only scripture or all that you can come up with is that you're being picked on for no reason. You're being bullied for no reason. It's not that you've been willful. It's not that you've been stubborn. Not that you've been rebellious. Not that you've been stiff-necked. It's the only solution, the only acceptable reason is that a person has something personal against you and they're just picking on you. That's it? So at what point can a righteous person smite you, correct you, and you see it's a kindness? When is that scripture going to be applied? Oh, when you are correcting somebody else, that's how they're supposed to take it. But when it's time for you to get corrected, you can't take it? Is there something illogical about that logic? So 1 Peter 2:15, one more time, please.
1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of the Most High, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
How do we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? By obeying the scripture. Because when they're talking about, I wouldn't do that shit. I wouldn't do that. That's, man, hell no. I ain't the one. Hold up. You're right. You're not the one. Yahweh Shai is the one. You're completely right. You ain't the one, but Yahweh Shai is the one. And I've got a standard and a measure. Christ is the standard and measure I'm fighting to be like. So your ignorance and all your talking and complaining and yelling and arguing, but it's not right that you're going through this, it's not right that you're going through that. This is supposed to put your ignorance to silence. This is supposed to have you shut the F up. Wait on the Most High. I hear the alarm. Let's get it.
Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of miscellaneousness.
Of maliciousness. It says as free. We are free in Christ. We're free to make choices. And like I was saying this whole beginning of this class with, we're free to follow Christ. If Christ is saying, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men, then you can be free to not have to obey your thoughts. You can be free not to obey the feelings you have. You're free to obey the scriptures because now you know the scriptures. Not free, like we was reading 2 days ago, where it talked about, don't be that man who's like, who's going to control me? Nobody's going to control me. I'm my own man. That is not how the Most High wants things done as Israelites. Again, being free, I know the truth, and I can be free to submit myself to every ordinance of man. for the Lord's sake. That makes me free. I'm free from my emotions of feeling like a fool. I'm free from my emotions of feeling I'm being played. I can be free from that because I know who I'm doing this for. I know why I'm doing this. And it says, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness. That I'm not going to be caught up with you because I know a scripture. That's why I can be malicious and purposefully not obey, purposefully not submit, purposefully not congregate. Because I got a scripture in my head. Now you're willfully sinning. But,
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of the Most High.
Remember, in that malice, and the prophet tells you that wisdom will not enter into a malicious spirit. That you're being malicious. The Most High ain't going to give you the wisdom to make the right decisions. You're being malicious. The Most High is not dealing with you. And don't you be the one who's being Satan, because you got a scripture, you think you're in the right, and that's all there is to it. You're being malicious. Remember, malicious being what? Self-willed. Only going by what you think is right. So you ain't changing or budging for nothing or nobody. In a belief and false hope that you're being a servant of the Most High, and you're not. You're not helping gather Israel. You're pushing Israel away with your stubbornness. You're pushing Israel away with your rebelliousness. And you keep justifying your actions because of how you feel. Verse 17.
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood.
Why is the scripture having challenges to honor all men? Because there's going to come a time I don't want to honor all men. There's somebody over me who's telling me this, correcting me this way, correcting me harshly, abrasively. I'm not with that. So I don't feel I need to honor him. He's not respecting me, so I ain't got to respect him. Where the hell do you get that scripture from? Where do you get that from? That street shit? You got to show respect to get respect, yo. That's that street shit. That's the worldly stuff. Where is that in the scriptures? David had a chance to kill Saul. Did he? No. David said what? Let the Most High judge between me and you to see who's righteous. And David even apologized for even cutting Saul's cloak. That David felt he was in the wrong, not justified. David felt he was in the wrong for doing that. Not, I'm going to do a little something just to let him know not to mess with me. You know, the little should be getting our heads. I got to let him know. I'm going to submit, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to let him know. Yeah, I could have got you. Verse 17, honor all men.
Love the brotherhood.
Love unifying. Love the fact that you're able to unify because of Christ, because of the scriptures. Love the brotherhood. If I got to take low to honor the brotherhood, then let me take low to honor the brotherhood. Let me take low to honor the unity. Read.
Fear the Most High.
And why am I doing all? Why am I honoring all men and loving the brotherhood?
Fear the Most High.
Because I fear the Most High. Because that's what He wants. Read.
Honor the king.
And which king am I honoring? Yahweh Shai. Read verse 18.
First Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, the ones that rub you the wrong way, the ones that are abrasive. I'm supposed to be subject to them because I'm being subject to the Most High Christ. Christ and the Most High is just using them to work on me. Not just because we get along. Not just because this is all good. Verse 19.
For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault?
To be buffeted means to be struck. It means you actually hit. What good is it if when you're buffeted, you're being corrected harshly for your faults? Go ahead.
You shall take it patiently?
If you're in the wrong and you're being corrected for being in the wrong, how is a man supposed to take that?
Patiently.
You're supposed to be patient when you did wrong. And you're being corrected and corrected harshly or severely for it. You're supposed to take it patiently. But it's hard for a person to take it patient when they feel that they're the victim. Whenever they're trying to justify, this person had no right doing this to me. But even then, the Most High says, for what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. You would think the Most High is supposed to pat you on the back because you did something wrong and you took the correction patiently. The Most High is supposed to give you a reward, a Twinkie, a treat, because you did wrong. Someone corrected you harshly and you didn't open your mouth. You didn't complain back. You really think the Most High is supposed to reward you for that? Because you know how people say, man, the old me would have been hell no. You look, I'm trying to be a Christian right now. You're supposed to, if you're in the wrong, you're supposed to take it patiently. Shut up. But when a person is justifying themselves, this person didn't have the right to do this to me. This person should not have ever said or did this to me, and I'm going to go off. But it's never an examination that you've done the exact same thing to the Most High. Finish it.
Verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with the Most High.
This is what's acceptable with the Most High. With that, I just heard that we have a few seconds left with this class. I'm going to end it with that. Verse 20, that we don't want to be sinning willfully, okay? We don't want to get to the point where we're sinning willfully because all the different factors or all the different things going on, all the different excuses and justifications that a person will make for themselves. And we get to the point where I don't want to gather with nobody else, I won't be around nobody else. Yeah, I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to hear scriptures. I don't want to deal with the Most High. I want to be alone to my thoughts. I just want to do me. Understanding the commandment was what? Gather together. But because I feel a person's just picking on me, I feel a person is just to have my best interest. The Most High plan was gathered together because I feel this person this way, or I feel this going on, I'm not going to gather together. That's it. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. Tonight being Thursday, there is class in San Antonio tonight at the school, 4219 Cinegate Drive.
San Antonio, Texas, 78217. It is a code there. There's also class on YouTube tonight. The YouTube channel class will be coming from Norfolk, Virginia. And you can like, share, subscribe to that YouTube channel at ISBHPK Norfolk Live, N-O-R-F-O-L-K Live. To be able to catch Kazaki and the brothers teaching there on YouTube tonight. In Houston, there's also class. It's just not going to be televised. In Houston, there is class. It's just not going to be televised. All right? It's Albuquerque. This is Thursday. We are supposed to have a class tonight. You don't need to talk to this morning. There is supposed to be a class tonight. I'm speaking with the brothers, Ahmad and the brothers there, and see how they're feeling, see what's going on. With that, as far as the next blog talk, stay tuned. All right, stay tuned for the next blog talk. It'll probably be Monday night. Will probably be the next blog talk. The next blog talk will probably be Monday night at 8 p.m. Albuquerque time, or 9 p.m. San Antonio time. Okay? So with that, I do want to thank the brothers who did assist me with the class this morning. My name is Mashaba.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bobby.
I'd like to thank y'all brothers for assisting with this. And with that, please check out the classes tonight on YouTube. Visit one of the schools. Again, if you have any tithes, preach funds, or offerings, please help us out. It's still needed. And with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.